welcome to our week two of our Pray Like Jesus series. And we're also running this parallel in our, as Jenny mentioned before, in our midweek groups. And we've already had 92 of our church family just this week that have already done. Who enjoyed week one?
Yeah.
It was brilliant. And so if you're here and you're thinking, oh, I just never got around to it, there's still time for you, as Jenny said. You can help desk with a QR code. You can let us know. We'll find a way to make it work. But the bottom line is, all of us as Christians understand the importance of prayer. We all get it. As Christians, we should pray. And the problem is, many of us, dare I say, all of us at times, struggle with this idea of prayer. And I guess I've been trying to say, if that's you today, if you struggle with this idea of prayer, don't feel bad. Tell the person next to you, don't feel so bad. Because, you know, you are in great company. Jesus had 12 disciples who also struggled with this thing called prayer. They didn't get it. In fact, the verse we're launching from over these 4 weeks says that one day, when Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, we've got no idea, teach us to pray. Now, John taught his disciples, Jesus, teach us to pray like you pray. In fact, this is the only question that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them, anything they asked him. They didn't ask Jesus, show us how to raise the dead, how to turn water into wine, into anything. He said, show us how to pray. And so for the disciples, they'd walked with Jesus for years, and they'd seen his rhythms, they'd seen that Jesus would sneak away in the morning or in the evening, whatever he could, to pray. And they would always see that for Jesus, power was connected to prayer. And so they said, we want to pray like you do. And so in response to that, Jesus taught them a very familiar prayer for Christians across the world, billions of Christians across the world. Jesus would teach them. In fact, they asked how to pray, and Jesus says, you know what? I'd rather teach you who to pray to. And so it's not the how, it's the who. And he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, says, pray then like this. And I'm sure you're familiar with this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who... Well, I've gone back into the different translation. As we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so, last Sunday, we started looking at the first phrase in this, our Father. And if you're in our midweek groups, you would have gone a deep dive into these verses. But it's certainly true for Jesus, Father God was his Father. And so when Jesus says, our Father, he understood what it meant to have a relationship with his dad. But when we become a follower of Jesus, if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, so you're on this journey trying to work out what Christianity is, or trying to work out how do I be a follower of Jesus, when we make that decision, he becomes our Father. We become a child of God. And so the fundamental framework Jesus is talking about here, he goes, disciples, what's more important than knowing how to pray, what's more important than that is knowing who you are praying to. And our groups this week explored deeper who God is and where God is. In fact, one of the interesting thoughts as I went through the group this week was when it talks about our Father in heaven, often we associate that with a God who is distant and far off, don't we? But the reality is that the language of heaven is the atmosphere, a God who's around us, a God who is in the air that we breathe, a God who's so close to us, who's in us as we breathe. And that's the God we talk to, not a distant, not a far off God who's disinterested in our life. And Jesus wants us to know, first and foremost, when we pray, when we have this conversation with God, that our Father is loving, means we can approach him without any fear. Our God is powerful. Our dad is powerful. It means he can handle whatever situation we face. Thirdly, our God is good. Our dad is good. He has no hidden agenda for your life. He's at work for good in you and for you. And so as we continue exploring what prayer is, I think one of the challenges we face in our Christian walk is, what do we do when our prayers and our hopes are not met the way that we expect? What do we do with unanswered prayer? And you might be thinking, Mark, that's great, because that's the exact question I have today. If that's you today, get along to our small groups. They're going to deal with that one. They can do the heavy lifting in our midweek groups. What do we do with unanswered prayer? A book that I'm encourage you to have a read if you haven't got it already is this book called Pray Like Monks and Living Like Fools. And this is such an incredible book, and it gives you a perspective on what do we do when it comes to prayer. And what do we do when prayer, in our perspective, doesn't work out, when we don't get what we want, when things don't turn out the way we expect. And so our midweek group will explore it. This also will really help you get an understanding of where we anchor our hearts and our hope and the truth while we're waiting for God to bring about his perfect plans for our lives. And so today I want to move to the second, well, one of the thoughts in the Lord's Prayer was, give us today our daily bread. How does God provide for our needs? In fact, is it even okay for us to ask God to help us? That's what I want to talk about today. And so I want to look at three times in the Gospels how Jesus responds to the needs of those around him. And I want to look at what we can do, what is our responsibility when we're in need, and what is God's responsibility. And so I want to go to Luke chapter 17. I've got two sections of passages from Luke. And we go to chapter 17, verse 11. As Jesus continued toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, everyone say, as they went,
as they went,
they were cleansed of their leprosy. That's the first, just put that little story in your mind. Let's go down to the next chapter, to another one you may be familiar with, in Luke 18, verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of the crowd going past, he asked what is happening. They told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," the people yelled in front of him, yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And when Jesus heard him, he stopped and he ordered the man to be brought to him. And as the man came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," he said, "I want to see." And Jesus said, "All right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." I want to look at these two stories and have a look at some common themes in them. Because both, I think Mark would name the blind man Bartimaeus, that's his name. Luke doesn't record his name. But both the blind man, both Bartimaeus and the 10 lepers, they had a problem. The 10 lepers, well, they had leprosy. They were outcast from society. They weren't allowed to live with their family. They had to live outside the city walls. They weren't allowed to worship at the temple. They, in many ways, got excluded and discounted from the presence of God. All of them needed to rely on the mercy and the charity of others to help them survive. But what I also notice out of these two stories here is that they both knew who to call. It wasn't Ghostbusters, just saying. They both realized that, "I'm not going to go to Peter, I don't need to go to John, I don't need to go to any of the disciples." They all called out to Jesus. And in the midst of the crowd, in the midst of the hustle and bustle and the busyness of what's going on in their lives and the conversation, it's hard enough doing announcements when you guys are chatting, you know. But can you imagine what's happening when a crowd of people are following Jesus and they're all talking and laughing and celebrating and enjoying his presence? In the midst of that noise and the busyness, a single voice was crying out for help. The voice of Bartimaeus, who was trying to raise his voice, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the 10 lepers, they were standing at a distance. They were not welcome anywhere. Those 10 lepers, all of them would cry out and say, "Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." Bartimaeus' prayer, the blind guy, his request wasn't elegant. It wasn't very sophisticated. He didn't have to bow on his knees. He didn't have to quote anything. his prayer was quite simple. In fact, his prayer was focused on just him. It was a very raw, simple, in some ways you might think, a selfish prayer. I want to see. For our 10 leper friends, they knew they needed help. So they called out to the only one who could help them. And if they hadn't called out, what would happen? I wonder. If Bartimaeus didn't call out to Jesus, what would happen? If he thought, well, he's not going to hear me, I'm not going to bother, he's busy with someone else. If Bartimaeus just said, well, this is just my lot in life, I'm just going to sit here and beg, I'll be blind, that's just what God has for me. If he just sat there, what would have happened? In all likelihood, Jesus would have walked by. If the 10 lepers hadn't said anything, if they just sat there at the edge of the village or the town and said, well, he's not going to want to talk to us. What would happen if they didn't call out? Chances are that Jesus would keep walking by. So my first thought this morning for you, for me, is that Jesus will not ignore your cry for help. Jesus will not ignore your cry for help. He's not too busy. He's not distracted. He's not hard of hearing. He's not in judgment and wanting to avoid you. He's not embarrassed by you. He's not afraid that he'll catch a disease off you. He's not trying to push you away. Jesus will not ignore your cry for help. That's my first thought I really want you to reflect on this morning. And my second thought is found looking at another story that you may be familiar with, a story of Jesus' first miracle. Who can tell me the first miracle? Water into wine. I know some of you just woke up there because I said wine. Didn't you, Steve McDonald? Now look, this may not be as spectacular as raising the dead to life. It may not be as dramatic as you know, the blind man seeing, or the lame walking, or the deaf hearing. Because all those ones, everyone got to see those miracles. They were quite significant. But this was a significant miracle. And for the people who were part of this miracle, they would have never forgotten what Jesus did. And so we're going to find this story in the Gospel of John, chapter 2, we'll go to verse 1. The next day there was a wedding celebration at the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were invited to the celebration. The wine supplier ran out, everyone saying, uh-oh, during the festivities. So Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. Devastating. We're not told exactly what's going on here. It's fascinating. Whatever the reason, they ran out of wine. Simple mathematics here. Too many people, not enough wine. It's going to happen. It's going to run out. I want you to think about your situation for a minute. Is there anything that you're running out of? Is there anything that you once had that has been depleted? Are you running out of energy? Running out of patience? Running out of trust? Running out of solutions. Running out of faith. Running out of time. Are you in a situation, or do you know someone in a situation where maybe the wine hasn't run out, but certainly there's in their life they are lacking and they are depleted? If that's you, I'm sure there's more than one of you here today. Perhaps you can learn something from Mary. Firstly, what I know is this isn't Mary's problem. It was likely her friends that invited her to the wedding, or maybe an extended family member. In fact, they didn't even come to ask Mary for help. It wasn't like they said, "Mary, come and fix our problem." But Mary saw that there was an issue. She noticed something. And so once she noticed lack, she took the problem to Jesus. Mary doesn't bother telling him, "Now, Jesus, let me tell you a story." She doesn't give Jesus the long story of what happened. She just comes to Jesus and says, "They have run and there's no more wine." Simple fact. And Jesus' response, this is interesting. I know our young adult sisters did this last Sunday, didn't you, girls? You talked about this passage. I think even Phoebe in her Bible reading this week came across this passage. But Jesus' response is fascinating here. He says, "Dear woman," not our problem, "my time has not yet come." He said, "Mum," and you've all said that when you were younger, "Mum, come on, Mum, it's not our problem." It seems to me, as I read this scripture, Jesus had a timeline. Jesus, in his perfect plan, had a timeline when he would act and move and reveal his glory, and he would step into the miraculous. It seemed to me, as I read this, Jesus knew when that would happen. It was on his calendar, and a reminder on his phone. It would seem, as I read this scripture, that Jesus is saying, "You know, Mum, I know there's a problem, but you know what? It's not my time." But then someone he loved, his mum, came to him with a genuine need. Jesus is saying, "You know what? It's not yet. My time to reveal my glory and my power is not yet." But at the request of someone he loved, he brought the not yet into the now. I think this is really important for you to think about as we consider what prayer looks like. The one who knew Jesus more than any of us, Mary, she knew that Jesus, his greatest priority was people. That's why he came. For broken, lost, hurting people. And you might be thinking, "Well, this is just wine. They just had a logistic problem." But Jesus understood that for the people who have run out of wine, that had incredible impact. They're considered that they haven't planned it well. Their pride and the nature of what was going on was so destructive to them. And you might be thinking, "That's so little. It's such a little thing," but Jesus cares about the little things. Tell the person next to you, Jesus cares about the little things. Look, don't get me wrong, he cares about the big things. But he cares about the little things. And he cares about the reputation, and he cares about what people think of you, and he cares about how you're journeying in life, and he cares about your career, and he cares about your subject at school, and he cares about the things you're trying to, the new opportunities you're trying to explore in your career or your work. He cares, and you might be thinking, "That's a little thing." Jesus cares about your little things. He cares that that didn't work out. He cares that you're hurt. He cares that you're disappointed. He cares that things have run out in your life and that you haven't got the capacity to fill those vats with wine. He cares about the little things. And so Mary, who knew Jesus, said to the servants, "Just do whatever he tells you." Now, we're not going to read the rest of the story. The spoiler alert is that he turns the water into wine. That's the whole story here. And a miracle occurred, and read the rest. I don't need to talk about that. What can we learn from the story? Because in our everyday life, we come across a wide range of challenges and problems. Some of them we can fix. Some of them we can pop down to Dan Murphy and buy some more wine. Some of them we can just sort out ourselves. But there's some things in our life we can't fix. There's stuff going on in your world that you're looking at, and maybe you've tried to fix it, and you've tried hard to fix it, but it's still broken. There's some things that are beyond us, beyond our capacity, beyond our resources, or beyond our understanding. And if that's happening to you right now, I want you to consider Mary. Mary went to Jesus with the facts. Jesus, we've run out of wine. And then she left it with him. Gave it to Jesus. Over to you. I wonder what would have happened if Mary hadn't brought the problem to Jesus. Well, the crowd would be thirsty. The host would be embarrassed. The bride and groom probably had their first fight that very moment. Weren't you supposed to organize the wine? I thought you were. They had with them at the wedding. They had with them the one who could fix the problem. But they never asked. But someone else did. For them. So whatever your problem, and I know many of you, and I know some of the challenges you're facing, I know some of them are hard. It's great to have Lois with us this morning. And then the people I know of that are struggling, and are hurting, and are broken, and are empty. And in a room like this, in a church like ours, I know there's a number of you that are going through tough, hard things. Complex things. Complicated things. Impossible things. Whatever your situation, I want to encourage you. Take it to Jesus. Yes, see the counselors and get the right advice to do all of that. But ultimately, take it to Jesus. Don't take it to the pub. Don't take it to the arms of another man or woman who's not your husband or wife. Don't take it to Facebook and blab all about it. Don't take your problems to others who also may not really be able to help. We need people around us, but ultimately, friends, we've got with us at the wedding the one who can solve the problem. We've got with us in our lives, with you, journeying with you, in you, through His Spirit, we have got the one who can turn water into wine. Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi, he gives some brilliant advice. And I'm sure if you're a church person, you know this verse. If you're not a church person, well, you'll learn it now. But Paul would say, don't worry about anything. Good advice. Easy or hard? Takes some effort. Because it's very easy for us to worry. Rather, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Friends, are you facing stuff you can't understand? Some things in life you're never going to understand. But I tell you what, you can find peace. How? Well, Paul tells us. Instead of directing our worries, our thoughts, all that being consumed by what we can do, let's be consumed by what He can do. Pray about it all. Tell God what you need. Then you'll experience His peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and our minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Bit of a direction. As you look at those verses, I don't mind a bit of audience participation. What bits of that verse really speaks to you right now? Anyone?
Thanking him.
Thanking him before the miracle, before the breakthrough. Thanking him for what he's already done. What else? What other those verses? What to you really, if you had your highlighter on, what would you underline? Sorry? Pray about everything.
His peace will guard your hearts and minds.
Yeah. Such a powerful thing.
That's the result.
Absolutely, yep. There's no right or wrong answer. I'm asking what the Holy Spirit is highlighting to you.
The hardest thing I find in life is not to worry about anything.
Mm.
If you live in a world full of worry.
Yes.
And to live in a world full of worry and not worry is very, very hard.
Yeah.
And the second part is almost just as hard to pray about everything. Because what are you praying for?
Mm. Yeah.
Worry and that prayer find each other.
They do find each other. It's discipline. Yeah. And we can't literally pray for everything. What's the Holy Spirit laying? What is it that you need to be praying for? Yeah. Anything else? It's such a beautiful passage. Does everything include the little things? Or just the big things?
The little things.
Yeah. Yeah.
The little things actually make up 90% of our life. So if we don't think God's interested in them, He's not interested in 90%. The 10% big things, obviously, you know, He does. But that's why we have trouble. Like, for me, focusing on praying about stuff, because we think every little thing is of no value.
Mm.
Everything I did today.
That's right. And for those of you who are saying 90% of our life is full of little things. And if we don't think God cares about the little things, you may not think He cares about the big. Okay, I shall move on. Thanks for your feedback. You might be thinking, you know, I have so many problems, so many challenges. Not me. You might not be happy on me for that. You probably are. Yeah. So many challenges. There's so much going on in my life. If I was to talk to God about everything, I'll be talking to Him all day. Who's thinking like that? There's such a big long list. Hey, that's the very point. That's the very point of prayer. It's being in a conversation with Him all day. Having Him with us and beside us and in us, accessible, and saying, you know what, I'm struggling with this right now. I'm struggling with this car that just is so slow in the traffic lights. Who gets them? Who is that car? I'm struggling with the price of groceries. The whole point here is you might be thinking your list is so long and that God doesn't care, and if I was to talk to God, list it all out, I tell you what, this is the goal of prayer, is to be in constant contact with Him. In fact, this is the point of this whole story, is that Mary left the problem with Jesus. Mary knew Jesus. He trusted His nature. He knew Jesus just wouldn't walk on by or just ignore a need. And I'm sure Mary went back to the seat and just was peaceful. It's going to be okay. There's an old hymn that I used to sing growing up. I'm not going to sing it, but you may know this. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry. Some things to God in prayer. Everything. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have I trials and temptations? Anyone? Trials? Temptations? Yeah. All of us. Is there trouble anywhere? Understand? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I love this one. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Powerful words. Penned out of an understanding that prayer is how we breathe with God. It's how we coexist in this world that we live, because it's full of trouble and brokenness. I get that. And hurt and pain and disappointment. I know that, and I know that in your life. But the opportunity we have is to take it to Jesus in prayer. There's a quote from this book, which I encourage you to read, because it's a brilliant book. It says this, talking about the Lord's Prayer. It says, it is so freeing that in the middle of a prayer about your kingdom come, your will be done, in the middle of a prayer about heaven coming to earth and struggling against evil, you know, deliver us from evil. In the middle of this prayer, dealing with heaven coming to earth, struggling against evil, that Jesus throws in something as common as today's lunch. Honor him by bringing your everyday, ordinary requests, knowing that he treasures those too. In the middle of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus brings it all down to lunch, to our daily bread. In the middle of the crying out for the heaven to come to earth and breakthrough and the miraculous and the supernatural and God to act and move, in the middle of that, God actually cares about that little thing. He cares about both. And the encouragement we have is to bring them all to God. So as we close today, I want you to take a moment and consider your life. That's a big question. You can't take a moment. You can offer your therapist after that question. Just consider a bit of your life, perhaps. What is it that you need? Blind Bartimaeus. Well, he was blind. They named him that. Jesus asked him, what do you want? And if I was him, blind Bartimaeus, I'd be thinking, well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? I'm blind. But I think that whenever Jesus asks us a question, it's never because he doesn't know the answer. It's often because we don't know what we want or what the answer is. And so the question I want for you to think about is, what is it that you want? Hang on a second, Mark. God doesn't care about your wants. He cares about our needs. I think he also cares about what we want. Often we want him to deal with our needs. But what is it that you need? If I was to sit with you or in your connect group or your small group and your triads and you talk about what you're struggling and what that you're hurting with, and what is it that you would say, you know what? I really need this. Maybe it's healing in your body. Maybe it's healing in your marriage. Maybe it's some peace to your thought life. Maybe you're struggling financially or emotionally. Maybe you're desperate for a close friend, a new job, a breakthrough. Maybe you're hurting or confused or discouraged. Maybe you've run out of wine. Maybe the tank's empty. Maybe you don't know where to go, don't know what to do, don't know how you will fill this up because it's impossibility. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what it is that you're looking for. I don't know what it is that you need. Through the prayer that Jesus gives us, we are encouraged, we are directed to take that thing, whether little or big, we're encouraged to take it to our Father, who's loving and kind and powerful. Our Father in heaven, who's with us, who is in us, who is surrounding us. We are invited to bring our need to Jesus. Our ordinary needs, but also those extraordinary ones. The 90% and the 10%. Jesus will never ignore your cry for help. He may not always do the things we want, when we want, the way we want. Who's experienced that? He may move instantly and then do an incredible miracle like the Bartimaeus. Or like the 10 lepers, well, they had to walk out their faith. It was in their going, it was in their journey that they found healing. Our part was to take it to Jesus, to ask in faith, to trust in his love and goodness, to thank him, and to trust him to do his part in his way and his time. Then we can experience his peace. I'm going to team up. Thanks, Jeremy. Don't worry, I'm not going to get you to sing to him. It's baby, do you know?
June.
June.
We need some more drummers.
Baby's not a drummer.
Harry's ready.
Good opportunity for a plug for our worship team. No, they do a great job. We love them and you guys giving of yourself so faithfully. And if this is something that you are, well, number one, able to drum, it's a good thing. It's a good start as well. So we'll sing. We'll be a part of a team. Come and see them. We'll part of our media team. We've got Danielle and who had Kai. So Cheyenne. Kai's running the media today. There's plenty of space for any of us to be serving and giving and being part of this community. So thank you for those that give, and thank you in advance for those who are feeling to be part of it. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer. Maybe you're here today and maybe you are visiting, and maybe you've been here a number of times and you're sort of just trying to figure out this whole Christian thing. Christianity for us, well, the first bit gives away, it's about Christ. It's about Jesus. Not in a dead Jew on a cross. And I think it's sort of great some of the songs we chose today, Jeremy, were very Easter-based. Because we are Easter people. We are people that live with the risen Saviour. We believe that Jesus is alive. I'm very much interested in you and me and my big stuff and my little stuff. He's available. He's accessible. He's good. He's kind. He's loving. He's not going to reject you. He doesn't forget about you. This is the Jesus that we worship, yeah? He cares about that tiny thing that is just annoying the heck out of you. Sometimes he tells you just get over it. But he cares about it. He cares about you. He cares that you're so wound up. So anxious. So tense. And so easily irritated. And so frustrated. He says, you're not experiencing my peace. He says, come to me all who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. All who are overwhelmed by the stuff of life, the big stuff and the little stuff, he says, come to me. And you're wondering, how do I come to him? It's through prayer. Why don't we all stand together? We believe in a God who's very much interested in you. even when you're not very much interested in him. I've been there. He's interested in you. And maybe you're here and maybe you'd like to have a conversation regarding how do I include Jesus in my life? How do I become a follower? How do I start this journey? What's it like? And give me some room. We'd love to talk to you about that. Come and see me if you hear anything. I'd like more information about that, because this Jesus you're talking about is so attractive. And friend, he is. He is so attractive. Father God, I thank you that you are good. I thank you that you are our Father in heaven, that you are around us and surround us and inside us through your Spirit. But Lord, I pray this morning for those that are struggling, those who are worried and anxious. Yeah, just while everyone's eyes are closed, just give me a little wave and say, Mark, I've got some 10% stuff that are happening right now, some big stuff that I need to know. Thank you. Who else would say, thank you, thank you? Who else would say, I've got some stuff that in my wine vats are empty. I'm depleted. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I've got nothing, thank you. I've got nothing to give. I've got nothing to draw on. Anyone else this morning say that's me? I reckon we had 10% of our people put our hands up. I reckon the rest of us, 90%, we've got stuff going on. And so Jesus, this morning, I want to bring before you everyone that reached out. Everyone that cried out and is acknowledging this morning that they need your help. Lord, I thank you that you do not ignore them. You will not ignore that hand that went up. You will not ignore that heart that is saying this thing. And Jesus, I pray that as we come to you, as we experience you, that you'll meet us at our point of need. And you'll bring about your goodness and your power and your grace for us in that place. And I thank you that you are not going to walk past. Lord, I pray you help us as a church community. Help us just to be able to talk. Help us just to understand how much you love us. That we don't need to be afraid of you. You're not going to sit there and make us feel bad. But you're going to come and you're going to speak your life over us. And bring the work of your Spirit in our lives. The powerful work of your Spirit. To work the miraculous in our hearts and in our situations. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know some of you need miracles. I know that. Some of you are here and you need a miracle. You actually, there's nothing that you can do in the natural that can resolve your situation. I believe in God of miracles. So that's you. If you are in need of a miracle, we are going to make a space up the front. If you'd like people to pray with you, you don't need to tell them what it is. You can say, Mark, or whoever's praying for you, I just need God to do a miracle. And we'll pray and we'll believe with you in that space. Okay, so we're going to sing a song. One of the songs, you can come up when the song's playing. When the song's finished, we're going to pray and believe with you. And pray and talk to a miracle working God do. Yeah, one final thought. Mark, you're thinking, shut up. No, you're not thinking that. The Bible tells me that Jesus right now, this very moment, that he is sitting at the right hand of Dad. And hear what he's doing? He is pleading for you. He's interceding for you, for your situation. So you're not alone. You've got Jesus in heaven praying for you, and a church family that love you and care for you. So we'll sing. You're welcome to come for some prayer, and then we'll dismiss the service.